Good morning, Harbor.
Good morning.
Nice to see all your smiling faces. Our opening hymn is a hymn that if you're under 60, you probably don't know.
Not true.
Not true. Amy says not true. Old, old, old hymn, but you'll like it. It's In the Garden.
And the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go to the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy
call to worship this morning is from the book of Isaiah in chapter 51. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. This next song is another song that maybe some of you don't know, but we'll teach it to you if you don't.
Christ in love redeemed me for his own.
must be the end. I thought there was another verse. Good to see you. I am on, aren't I? Okay, make sure I'm on back there. Jeff? Okay, I'm on. Can you hear me now? All right. Thanks, Ron, pointing that out. It's good to be back. I came from North Dakota where you could not hear the corn grow because there's no real corn there. We got wheat and sunflowers. Sunflowers, you can watch them grow, but it gets to the point where the sunflower used to always watch the sun. It follows the sun around. But when we were up there, they have matured, and so now their heads are bowed, and they don't follow the sun, which is kind of interesting. Kind of got, even in creation, you see God at work in his creation. Amazing, amazing thing. Anyway, it's good to be back with you all because I missed you. Had a good time with my mom, and it was cooler up there than here because it was overcast, which I didn't mind that because it kept it cool, but then there was a nice drizzle of rain all the time we were there. I'm going like, we brought you some rain, I guess. And so it was just a good time to be there. And 50 years of being out of high school, and that reunion, that was it was interesting too. We found out that those that lived the closest didn't come. Some said they will never come back to Turtle Lake ever again, or to any reunion. They don't want to be a part of the class anymore. I'm going like, I thought we were such a close class. Not that way. Anyway, but anyway, enough about me. It's bulletin time here to talk to you about some of the things that are listed in the bulletin. If you haven't read them already, I'm not going to read all of them, just some of them. Let you know that today at 4, from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m., if you have ever been out to Ingham Bible Camp, that's over by Wallingford, they're having a hog roast and a pie auction here tonight. And how many have ever gone to that? Some have, at least 10 or so. That's good. Was it always worth it, Bruce? Always worth it, I'm sure it is. So, what did you pay for your pie that you bought there? No, that's okay. That's taking place today if you have nothing else going on and would like to just get out on a beautiful day out at a Bible camp. It'd be much appreciated for them as well. Wednesday, this is just something, it's just a brainstorming session of widows. We got a lot of widows in our church, and I'm just wondering, can there be a way in which we can minister to our widows better than just having a funeral for their loved one, and then after that, there's not much there. Come to a Bible study, I guess, on Thursdays, but I just want to get together with the widows, whoever can make it, this Wednesday at 2 o'clock, and we'll just do some brainstorming as far as, I want to hear from you. What are some things that the church can do or be helpful for you during this time of loss and being back to being a single person again? And so I'm going to be all ears. I'll probably ask some questions, but it's just a thing that I would like to see us do things better than where they're at this point in time. So no one better to talk to than those of you that are experiencing it and are going through time without your loved one as well. So that's this Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And men, remember, Saturday is the men's breakfast because we start September. This is our last Sunday in August. Summer is really over. I knew I'd get a reaction. So, any rate, hope you've had a good summer, but because it's coming to an end real quick. And just to let you know that there is Ingham Okoboji Bible Camp this fall. This is starting September 10 through 12. There's Elderversity out at the camp. It's not too far from here. It's for anyone who is 55 plus can become a part of that. But if you have any questions about what that's like, I can't recommend anyone better than Bob Floss to talk to, or Lisa. Bob goes to that all the time. Right, Bob?
Yes.
All right. And thanks for coming today. Good to see you. You too, Lisa. Good to see you back there. What's that? Okay. Well, you can talk to Bob after the service and find out more about Elderversity, because it seems to be well worth it. That's all the announcements that I'm going to give. There are some other things. It seems like I'm forgetting something. I don't have any other notes, so okay, it must be fine. Must be okay. All right, let's have a word of prayer. And then we'll continue on with our worshiping the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that is here today. Thank you for Pastor Jeff Griffith for being here last Sunday. And thank you, Lord, for the words that he brought and gave to everyone that was able to be here. And even those that were on Zoom as well, they can say, like, you know, it's even though when Pastor Tim is gone, there is always a good speaker that comes. And is worthwhile listening and hearing him as he brings God's word to us. We need that, Lord. We need to hear your word over and over and over again. We are so forgetful, and we oftentimes just don't remember a lot of things. And so even today, Lord, as your word comes to us, even though we may have heard this portion of scripture many times before, your word is living and it's active. And there's a lot of things that even though we've heard it many times, there can always be something new that stands out that we go like, oh, I needed to hear that today. Before I didn't need to hear this, but now today I do. And so we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for everyone that's come to the doors today. And thank you for just meeting friends of the friends that are here today as well. And may no one lose their purse today. We pray your blessing upon this service today. We commit it all into your hands. Thank you for the praise band that is here as well. May you draw us closer to yourself, and may we yield ourselves to you today to have that relationship that you so much want to have with each and every one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you stand while we sing this good song, this another real golden oldie, Jesus Saves.
Response of reading today is Psalm 138, the entire psalm. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. before the gods, and it's a small g, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted.
May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth.
May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great.
Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, have you had any trouble lately? Lots of different kinds, I'm sure. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Another new one for some of you. I think we're going to sing this through twice.
Be seated, the brand. We had some technical difficulties there. We just wanted to see if you knew that song by heart. So, sorry about that, Jeff. I don't know what happened there, but sometimes that happens. Yeah. It won't be the last time either, will it? So. Well, I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 20. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Heavenly Father, there is a lot in this portion of Scripture that makes us somewhat scratch our heads. Sometimes even we're puzzled by what was said here. And yet it's here before us. So teach us today. Impress upon us what you would want us to come to know about you. And all that is said here by Jesus and by Peter and the disciples. Thank you for this time that you've given to us, where we can learn and allow you to speak to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I thank Pastor Jeff Griffith for speaking last Sunday in my absence, and in the meantime, he's called and said he wanted to have coffee with me. Now, I don't know what that means, but I'll find out. So we plan on getting together for coffee at the well in the next, in the near future here. I want to begin this morning by just asking a question to each of you here, which is kind of something you've heard this before, too. Does it really matter who Jesus is? Does it really matter? I want you to think on that for a little bit. Because if not, then why did Jesus ask his disciples this question? If it wasn't important, then why would Jesus ask his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. In all four of the Gospels, we find it, he says it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Son of Man is a title. Goes in the Old Testament, it's a messianic term or messianic name. And so the place where Jesus even brings this up, he's talking about the anointed one or the Christ, because those are messianic names. And the place in which he asked this question is very significant. If you noticed in the very first verse, it said that he spoke this where? Caesarea. Now, there's another Caesarea that's on the coastline of the Mediterranean, just Caesarea. But this one's got another name attached to it, Philippi. Interesting that it's got two names and it's Philippi, because the person who built this place is Herod Philip, who built this place for the Caesar who lives in Rome. And it's probably not just for that Caesar, but any Caesar who would follow him could be able to come to Caesarea Philippi, knowing that it was Philip, the son of Herod the Great. He's one of four sons that Philip built this place to honor the Caesars of the Roman Empire. We have been there in person to see this place. Of course, it does not look at all today like it did back then when he speaks of this. But it's a beautiful place where there used to be a temple. And of course, the temples that they built at that time were very, very gorgeous. And it was the worship of many different gods in this place. And there's kind of like a rock face cliff. It's about 40 feet high, kind of a reddish, orangish rock. And there's a cave that goes inside this rock where sometimes even though the water comes out of this cave that makes a very scenic little brook, a waterway that comes out of there. It's a very lush place. But the temple that was built there was for Pan. That was the name of the god, Pan. But there's other places that are hewn on this solid rock face. They're hewn, places that are hewn out that you can tell is like a shelf where they placed other gods in this, on the side of this rock wall that the people could come and worship their god, whatever it may be, or worship them all. But it was a very ornate place at one time. It's not that way anymore. It's kind of a creepy place in a lot of ways because where the cave is, there's a huge rock in that cave. Not sure if that was a rock that was always there at the time that Jesus mentions this to his disciples. But it was also a place where they sacrificed children on this rock in order to worship their god Pan. And who knows, maybe some of the other gods as well. But this is the place where Jesus asked his disciples. Now, it's not just kind of like a coincidence that they're there. Jesus brings his disciples to this place and he asks them this question. Who do the people say the Son of Man is? And only Matthew is the only gospel writer that mentions the Son of Man. The other gospel writers, like Mark and Luke, will say, I am, versus Son of Man. Jesus says, well, who do they say I am? But only in Matthew does he refer to himself as a Son of Man. The disciples' response is very interesting. You know, some say that you're John the Baptist. Now, why they would bring up John the Baptist? Maybe because Herod Antipas, which was another son of Herod the Great, Herod Antipas ruled the area of Galilee. And he always wanted to see Jesus and did not see him until right before he was crucified. And Jesus never said anything to him. But it was the day in which Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate became good friends through that little encounter. Herod Antipas wanted to, he had a fear that John the Baptist would come back alive, which did not happen. They said, some other people think that you're Elijah. Elijah is a powerful prophet, a forerunner of the coming Messiah. Elijah did a lot of powerful things. He was the one that went on top of, what mount was that? Carmel, yeah, Mount Carmel. Been up there too. They got a statue, a big statue of Elijah up there on that mount. And he does not look like a friendly guy. But that's where the big test was between the prophets of Baal. And he was outnumbered. One guy for God and about 700 to 800 other false prophets. It was a place where Elijah said, well, here's the test. You have your prophets, ask God to come and send fire down from heaven and take your sacrifice. And so they did that. They did it for a long time, trying to get God to do something for them. When they finally got played out, and after they had cut themselves, and they were bleeding all over the place, and they were dancing around and wanting God to do something, a miraculous kind of a sign, well, Elijah said, you know, enough of that, I'll do it now. And then what did he do? He did something very uncharacteristic. He had them take water and pour it over the bulls that were sacrificed for this. And they made a trench around the wood. So you got soaking wood, you got a soaking sacrifice, you got a trench that's filled with water, and it is Elijah who prays. And what happens? Fire came down and sucked up everything. And so it was like, okay, who is serving the real God? And so Elijah had all those false prophets and Baal, he had them all killed. They were all puppets of King Ahab and Jezebel, his wife. It didn't change things much for Elijah, though. He still had a tough time. You know, shortly after that, he was found going out into the desert, found just depressed, wanting to die. After a great victory that God accomplished on Mount Carmel. Some of the other people that they identify Jesus with is Jeremiah. Some think he's like Jeremiah, a prophet that spoke a lot of doom because of no repentance in Jerusalem. And some said that he's like some of the other prophets who told about a Messiah that would come and who would appear in the last days of history. And so those are the comparisons that people were saying who Jesus was or is at that time. But then Jesus asks a very personal and pointed question to his disciples. Now, you just told me what the other people here who've come to worship their gods at this place, Caesarea Philippi, you've just told me what they think, who they think I am. But now let me ask you, who do you say that I am? Forget about those other guys. Who do you say that I am? He didn't say, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? This is important to Jesus. And it still is important to him today as he comes here to speak to your heart and your life. Who do you say that he is? Only one of the disciples, and it's Peter. Remember last time we talked about him, only one of the disciples stepped out of the boat to walk on the water. Who was it? Peter. What happened to him? Kapushlik. As he looked at the wind and the waves, and his prayer was, Lord, save me, and Jesus did and brought him back into the boat, calmed the waters down, and they worshiped him, wondering, who is this guy? It is Simon who says to Jesus, you are the Christ. The word Christ is what you, when you translate it from, into the Greek, you get the word Christ, referring to the Messiah, the anointed one that's talked about in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's the Messiah, or anointed one. And Jesus doesn't just bless Peter when Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he also makes known to him and all the other disciples, Peter, you could not have said this unless my Father revealed this to you. God has to reveal to us who he is. I call it, it's a miracle. Just to know who Jesus is. The majority of the people at this time did not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Just a small few. Even the disciples had a hard time wrapping their head around Jesus being the Messiah. Peter, his name is Petros. His name means stone or rock. But the first time Jesus ever uses the word church is here. They have no idea what church is. They're familiar with the tent of meeting in the wilderness. They're familiar with the temple that David wanted to build, but he didn't get to do it, but his son did, Solomon. They're familiar with the word synagogue. That's where Jews worship together. But church, first time it's ever used. Ecclesia. The called out ones are the church. And Jesus proclaims that his church will prevail in victory over the gates of hell. Uses Hades here. Hades is the abode of the dead. But it's also in reference to the place known as hell. The church will prevail in victory over the gates of hell. He talks about the keys of heaven. The keys of heaven will be given to his followers as they proclaim the gospel on earth. So the keys of heaven is directly connected with the gospel. There are other theologians that will differ with me saying that. But it's not talking about a hierarchy. It's talking about the gospel. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The gospel is the key to the lock. You can unlock, or you can lock. It's the gospel that will either keep people from going to heaven because people will reject it, or it will be the reason why you get to go into heaven because you believe and trust in the gospel. Then Jesus warns his disciples to be quiet about who he is. When Peter says, "You are the Christ," Jesus says to them, "Now, don't say anything to anybody. Don't tell them I'm the Christ." But he's exactly right. But don't say anything. What we find in the other, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is what follows the context of this particular text, is that Jesus then goes in predicting his suffering and his death. Could that be the reason why he says, don't tell anybody? Because his disciples are not ready to hear this. In their view, the Messiah is someone who would never suffer and who would never die. But Jesus came to do this for us. Anyone else ever die for you? Or said they would? Hear this. Jesus died for you. He took your place. Is that fair? I'd say it's not fair. I'm the sinner. He's the sinless one. And he took my place. He took your place on the cross. He died for you, that you could have eternal life and have your sins forgiven, where God can look at you and see that you are justified just as if you never sinned by faith. It's amazing. So who is Jesus to you? Confession of faith is very important to Jesus Christ. We see it here in this text. Have you ever made a confession? Have you ever told someone that you've come to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It's important. It doesn't have to be in church. It doesn't have to be in front of a bunch of people. It can just be with someone in your family. Some friend of yours, somebody that you work with. that you just said, well, I just want you to know that I wasn't always like this. I was, well, a matter of fact, a lot like you. I enjoyed sinning. I enjoyed the ways of the world. But since Jesus came into my life, I live differently. Not because I have to, it's because he changed my life. And I want to. I want to live for him. That's the only difference between you and me. I want to live for Jesus. So confession is a revelation that God reveals to you that, guess what? Not that you need to be, not that you need to have this revelation because you know it already, but that you're a sinner. You're a sinner, which means you're going to hell. Now, for some, that could be a new revelation. I didn't think I was that bad. And if you said that, you are that bad. That is what we deserve because of our sin. How many said, I believe in the Son of Man? How many said, I believe in Jesus Christ? You know, if we look in the book of Acts, we just think of Lydia and a guy by the guy that we know is the Philippian jailer. They came to believe and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We also find in Acts a guy by the name of Stephen, or Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian faith. He would not renounce his faith and was stoned. And there's a young man by the name of Saul who witnessed his death and held this guy's clothes as the rest of them threw rocks to kill him and accomplished that. The man holding his clothes is better known as the Apostle Paul. His name was changed from Saul to Paul, who wrote at least 13, if not more, of the New Testament books. Amazing. How many people over the centuries have kept a faith in Jesus Christ? In difficult times, as well as good times, and everything in between. And how many have said, if it wouldn't be for Jesus, there's no way I could do this. I couldn't handle this without the Lord being here for me. We celebrate today really a miracle. I don't even know if you know this. But we have a miracle with us today. Her name's Tammy Ebel, Mark's wife. It's been 1 year since she received a liver transplant as well as a kidney transplant. And she's here today with us. Yeah, we prayed for her. So I'm going to have Mark, her husband, to come up because he's been wanting to say something for a long time. So Mark, come on up here. Let me give you this mic here. And I'll stand next to you.
So you won't. Well, that's probably a good thing he's going to stand next to me. But just like to tell everybody how grateful and thankful we are for all the help that you guys have given us through this last year. This last week has been pretty emotional for our family. It's Tammy was saved by a 21-year-old boy who was in a motorcycle accident. His name was Kyle. So it's pretty tough when you really don't know what to say. Emotions run high this week, but because of Kyle, my wife is celebrating her first year anniversary, and it has brought a lot of love and comfort to us. And we'd like to invite you all for cake after church. We're blessed today to have our oldest daughter and her family here today and get to know them a little bit. And thank you all. That's all I can say is thank you. This church has meant the world to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. How often do we get to hear a thank you like that? Not very often. Some churches never get to hear stories like this. But we give all the glory to God. He's the one that did it. And today we can leave this place confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Personally. Because it's a big deal to be able to do so. Let's pray. Lord, you are a good God even in times of hardship. Lord, we think of Kyle's family who probably still grieve over his loss. And here we are, rejoicing and celebrating Tammy's recovery and just receiving from Kyle what he could not use anymore, but was given to Tammy so that she could live. So it did cost someone his life that another may live in a case like this. But Lord, you went to the cross and laid it down for every single person, past, present, and future, so that salvation, eternal life, can be his or hers. So Lord, today, you ask us who do you say Jesus Christ is to each one of us? It's not what I think, it's what your word says. He is the Savior of the world. And he's mine, the Savior. May your blessing continue to be with Kyle's family today, as well as with those of us that can be celebrating together following the service today. We have no idea what the family has gone through in all of this. And thankful that Tammy can't remember everything. But she's here today. And she can just say, Lord, if it wasn't for you, there's no way I could be here today. There's no way that my family could be celebrating this day either. But we're thankful for your faithfulness and your goodness. Forgive us for times when we did not have that faith and we had more doubts than we did have faith. But you understand us. You understand the human side of life. But we just thank you because, Lord, we're on this side and we see the whole story from a whole different perspective than where we once were. So thank you for the love, the prayers, and the support that has been shown and has been given, and that will continue in the days ahead. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Karen, I think you got something you'd like to play for us.
Just imagine that you're at Bible camp once again. We're going to sing Do Lord. Why don't you stand? This is a Bible camp song.